In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We just heard that. This is for the Sunday before the exaltation of the cross. You can tell that the feast is important by how much preparation there is for it. Pascha, we have 50 days of preparation, lots of Sundays before Pascha. We have two Sundays before Nativity, before Theophany as well. There might be others that I've forgotten. You could ask Father Nicholas. He knows them all. I don't remember them all. That might be the comprehensive list. This is always read the Sunday before the Exaltation. The Exaltation is this week on Thursday. And so when we have a preparation period, especially that last Sunday before the feast, there's sort of a... You kind of think about it a little bit. You kind of contemplate it a little bit. What does the cross mean to us? That's what we're trying to learn today, that we're trying to think about today. What does the cross mean to us? And that's why I read this verse from Galatians, because it's an application of the meaning of the cross. You can say you're saved through the cross. Okay, so what? What's that going to do to you? How's that going to change you? You have to know what the exploit of Jesus Christ being on the cross was, what he did for us, why he did it, and what it has become a symbol of. And then you walk according to this rule, the rule of taking up your cross. We think about the cross way differently. We talked about in catechesis yesterday, and we have this question all the time. I have this question constantly on street corners everywhere. Usually people ask me when there's like 30 seconds for me to be able to answer them before I'm getting on a bus or something. But they say, what's the difference between orthodoxy and being a Baptist or Roman Catholic or my religion or something? And this is one of the big differences. It can't be explained in an elevator, unfortunately. It has to be explained really by experiencing it. The cross for us is a symbol of victory, of mercy, of baptism, of healing, of reconciliation, of power. It's not a symbol of punishment. It's not a symbol of guilt. It's not a symbol of Jesus Christ taking on our guilt. It's a symbol of Jesus Christ who said in the gospel, if I be lifted up, or excuse me, he didn't say it exactly that way. He was referring to Moses. He says, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, which was a type of the cross. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He wanted to be lifted up upon the cross so he could show us for the rest of the time of this natural world, which has a limit, you know. Someday there will be the supernatural world. But for the rest of the time in this natural world, people could look at the cross and they could say, he identifies with me. He has become me, and because of that, I have become him. That's the meaning of the cross. Not one of punishment or anything else. It's one of Christ taking on our sinful nature and changing it because of love. He could have chosen to die any way he wanted, but it was prophesied that he would die on the cross, and it is an appropriate symbol. I mean, how could you have a stone if he was stoned? That's a weird symbol. That's a weird thing to wear around your neck. It's just a piece of jewelry. Or be beheaded or something. That's not, what are you going to do, wear a sword on your... on your chest? I suppose some of the boys would like to do that. But the symbol of the cross is truly a magnificent symbol. We put it on our chest. We put it on our walls. We bow down before it because the Lord Jesus Christ ascended the cross to show his great love for us. You know that verse that we read today? For some of you who are old enough, it doesn't happen anymore. But in the old days, every time a field goal was kicked in a football game, somebody would be holding up a sign, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Do you remember that? It was just sort of a fad, really. But God loves the world. He loves us. He loves the world enough to become like us so that we can become like him. And he gave his only begotten Son in order to save us, it says, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But it goes on to say, really, how the Lord did this Not in so many words, but if you live the life, you understand it completely. Even though I don't know if enough sermons could be preached that would actually elucidate the point properly. It says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So how is it the world saved through Jesus Christ? Ascending the cross was one of the things he did to save us. The first and primary thing he did is being God becoming man, taking human flesh and making it his own, and changing it and purifying it and making it capable of eternal life, and then transmitting that quality to us through baptism. Now, it's a happy linguistic accident, if it is such a thing, that the Russians have a correlation between the cross and baptism. It's not the same in Greek, right? Stavros and baptizo. They're not related. The word for cross in Slavonic is krest, right? And what is baptism? Krishtoni, right? Krest is in Krishtoni. And that idea is present in all of Orthodox theology, whether you're Greek or whether you're Romanian or whether you're just from Texas. It's the same. Baptism and the cross are related because the Lord shows us the way through the cross. And then we receive that way through baptism. We must understand this. We must see the cross symbol and feel it in our hearts. What does he say about the cross, the apostle? The apostle, he writes a lot of things that are kind of confusing, I think. I think almost any human thinks that what Paul writes, St. Paul writes, is often very hard to understand. But as soon as he says something really hard to understand, and I kind of wondered about it, then he says something that resonates so clearly in my soul, I can't take it all in. So this is one of these times. So he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the world is crucified unto me and me unto the world. That's kind of the confusing part. It's really hard for me to parse that. But then he says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Circumcision was a sign of baptism. It went away afterwards. It's not a necessity to be circumcised as a Christian. But a new creature. He says we are new creatures. That's a marvelous thing. We can be different. We can be changed. We can be perfect because of the cross, because of the one who is on the cross. Because of the one who, after being on the cross and dying at the time he wanted to, at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at the time he wanted to die, then he went down to Hades and destroyed death, destroyed the power of death over us. And I, sinful as I am, feel that destructive force over death in myself. I hope you feel it too. Of course, we give way to that death force sometimes by sinning. But sometimes it, in the breast, resonates that we are new creatures. This is what we should be thinking about when we see the cross. This is why it's such a marvelous symbol, because you can put the Lord on the cross. And even if you have a cross that does not have his body on it, you know that he was on it, and he lifted himself up for the world to see, for everyone to know that he is the way, the truth, the life, that he is the only way, and that the way is to be like him, to crucify ourselves to the world and the world to ourselves. That confusing statement, my heart understands it, although my mind doesn't completely. What did Christ do? He came for one reason. He came for us. It's all he cared about, because of love. That's it. That's what it means to be crucified to the world and the world to you. All we should care about is we were made in the image of God to obtain his likeness, and that we are falling short, and those we love are falling short, those we know are falling short, those we don't know. And it's a terrible thing. But it is also a wonderful thing that we have a way to become like Christ, to crucify ourselves to the world, to say the world is dead, so I will take upon me something that was formerly an instrument of death, but now is an instrument of life. and I will live as a new creature. This is a very powerful thing. Even secular psychologists understand this principle, that as you think, so you are. If you think you're stupid, you will be stupid. If you think you're worthless, you will act in a worthless way. If you think nobody loves you, you will feel unloved and you will act accordingly. But we are loved. We've been bought with a price. We are new creatures. No matter what you're doing today, if you do old stuff today, you're still a new creature. That's what the meaning of the cross is. So you put yourself on that cross. Not for suffering, but for love. Because the Lord didn't get on the cross to suffer. He got on the cross because of love. He got on the cross because he wanted to make himself a symbol to us. Of course, he's more than just a symbol, he's a reality. But he wanted this cross, the symbol of him being lifted up, to be for us so that we could remember when we're in the deep darkness of sin, that he loves us. We might feel unloved by everybody else. We might feel like we're failures. Or whatever other feeling we have, whatever lie the devil puts in our head that moment. But we are new creatures. We are precious. That's what the cross is telling us. Now, soon, we will sing. Actually, I'll do it with the kids because I'll teach them. And some of you haven't heard this hymn before. We will sing "Before Thy Cross." Every time I sing that hymn, I feel my sin. I feel how there's so much that overwhelms me. That I can't get done, that I can't think right, that I can't do right, that I can't pray with enough attention, that I mess this up and mess that up. It's happening all the time. I feel that in me as I'm saying, "Before thy cross we bow down and worship." Because the Lord came because I'm messed up. That's why he came. Because I can't fix myself. Neither can you. Nobody can fix themselves. Only he can fix us. And he fixed us by becoming like us. And then showing us the way to live, and then making himself a symbol for everybody to see so that we could remember we are new creatures. If you are baptized, you become a new creature. Now act like it. Remember it. After we sing, "Before thy cross we bow down in worship, O Master," we say, "and thy holy resurrection we glorify." The meaning of this hymn is that when you bow down, you're thinking of death, dying, falling to the ground, being buried, being obliterated, becoming dust, forgotten. But then we are resurrected. Because the Lord never forgets. He knows everything about us and never forgets anything. And everything he remembers is with love. So even if we are weak, we are new creatures. So we bow down and say, "I fall. I die all the time." Not in the way that St. Paul said about dying daily. "I do deadly things all the time." So do you. But then we can say, "and thy holy resurrection we glorify." We will be raised up by God, not by our own means, not because of anything we do, not because of our works, not because of our smarts or anything, but because God loves us. God chose to become like us. In becoming like us, we become like him. You see, he bought us with a price. He owns us. There is someone who will always love us no matter what. No matter how badly you're doing that day, you're still a new creature. Jesus Christ still died for you. This is extremely freeing for you to understand. I heard about someone, thought they weren't going to turn out to be anything, and ended up doing some good things. And it was a revelation to this person that they could actually do something good. Well, it should not be a revelation to us as if we are learning it for the first time. The Lord says we are made to be good, and we're going to become good. You just got to keep struggling. This is the meaning of the cross. Do you see anything about judgment in the cross? There is none. Do you see anything about imputing guilt on the cross? There is none. What there is power. And there is healing. There's reconciliation. We talked about this yesterday. I misquoted it. I thought it was in Ephesians. It's in Colossians. That we are reconciled through the cross. Having made peace through the blood of the cross by him to reconcile all things to himself, referring to Christ. God didn't reconcile himself to us. He reconciled us to him. We were the ones who needed to change. We were the ones who were messed up. He came, taking on our messed up human flesh, and changed it, and then showed it to us on the cross. So the next time you're really doing poorly, which is really today, if you really look closely, then remember, you're a new creature. Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you so that you could die. You need to die to the stuff that's already dead. Then you can be alive to the stuff that's alive. And there's only one thing alive. There's a lot of dead things. There's only one alive thing, and that is God. So God came to make us be able to be alive. This is exciting news. And this is why I read that first part, which doesn't, you know, out of context, you might not know it's about the cross. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. By the way, we are the Israel of God. Those who are in the church are the Israel of God. So if we walk according to this rule, we're changed. Every day you're changed a little. You get a little bit better. You feel God a little bit more. The Christian faith is meant to be experienced and known. Not by words, not by research, not by the human understanding in the mind that is in our brain, but the understanding that's in the nous, that is the mind of the soul. That can't be understood in words. It's understood by experience. It's understood by knowing that even though there's terrible things in me and they persist, that I am a new creature and that all I need do is bow down and get back up. Can you do that? We can do that. So when you fall down, get back up every time. That's what the cross means. That's why the church has these two readings, because they're really about how to think about living, to walk according to this rule, to understand that this cross is a symbol for us of healing and all the other things I told you. Glory be to God that we have the cross, that we have the one who was on the cross. Glory be to God that we're not hopeless, that all the stuff that's in us that is ugly, that there's a way out for it. The Lord will take it out. All we need to do is bow down and get back up. And keep doing that. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.